Hi, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine, and we're the Ingrams, founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
Our mission is to encourage people to get out with God in order to begin to heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord.
We invite you to subscribe to the podcast, share it with others, and help us spread the word of the Lord. Sisters, and welcome to episode 42. This is our second week of Journey to the Spirit. Before we get started, let me take this opportunity to remind you to look below in the description area, and there you will find a link to our companion study guide. You can download those for free, and we encourage you to do that because in there you will find a whole host of information that we will not be able to cover in our podcast today.
And there's worksheets in there.
So yeah,
there's
worksheets.
Actionable questions. So there's
action
homework.
Items. Homework.
I mean, fun homework. Like, yeah. Good homework.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Studying. Really good.
Soul studying stuff.
Deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
Getting closer to the Lord. Things you can do in your, as your dad says, Devo time.
Devos, yes.
Or like I like to say jam time, my Jesus and me time.
Yep.
So whatever you call it.
Whether it's your Devo time, your jam time, or just, you know, your time getting out with God.
Absolutely.
It's good stuff. We have started this journey between the resurrection and Pentecost, and we have called it our Journey to the Spirit because in this time period between the resurrection of Jesus and Pentecost, all of the disciples were gathered together and they were instructed to do so by the Lord to wait for the promise of the Spirit.
In the upper room.
In the upper room. And so we thought we'd take this time to go over what is the Holy Spirit as it pertains to you in your daily life. Galatians 5:22 is the basis for this series. Would you like to read that?
I'd love to. So this is, again, Galatians 5:22 and 5:23 from the New King James Version. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which we know as patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law."
Mm. Yep.
I love all those words.
That's great. And so we wanted to dive into this subject because there's a lot of confusion and a lot of just what would be the word? Misunderstanding of,
or just never being told.
Or taught.
Well, taught what we've learned.
Yeah.
You know, we know, most of us have heard, you know, the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit? We know it's inside of us. And we're like, okay, maybe it's in where our heart is. But, and we've heard the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the Holy Spirit gives us that.
Mm-hmm.
But how does this all happen? So I think it's just kind of unfolding that and just putting more context around those things.
Right, and we know because of the scripture in John that Jesus promised his disciples. He said in John 14:26, he says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So we know that part of the Holy Spirit's purpose is to teach us and to remind us and to bring to our remembrance all the things that we've learned from the scriptures. But how does that work in practical daily life?
It's kind of like a Google with a navigation, a Garmin, like, but from God inside of us.
Exactly.
So it's like our little guide, or he is like a guide to remind us of the, I'm going to say right and wrong, but the things that the way the Lord would love for us to behave and treat mm-hmm. others, and for our benefit and for our health.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I was doing some research for this podcast, and this is a scripture that I'd forgotten about. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, and it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Mm. That's another job of the Holy Spirit, is to reveal to us all of the things that we have been freely given by God.
When we forget, and we have those moments like,
exactly,
the sky is falling. And he's like, no, it's not really.
And even if it was, I gave you an umbrella. It'll protect you.
So last week we talked about leading up to Pentecost. We kind of gave that overview of
the
when Jesus breathes on them and tells them to accept the Holy Spirit. And then later, the baptismal of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And
what's the difference?
What's the difference? And so we're leading up to that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I know we're going to, each week, we're going to talk about either two or three of the
attributes
of the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, it's one fruit, not a bunch of pieces of fruit. One fruit with a lot of nutrients, let's say.
Yeah, I like that analogy, because
just like an orange has vitamin C, it has fiber, it has all of those things, the fruit of the Spirit has so many nutrients and so much benefit for us.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy benefit, spirit, soul, and body.
Right. And the Spirit will produce this fruit in your life, and it's the whole package. We're going to talk about the individual parts, and just to give you an idea of what they are, but the Holy Spirit will produce this whole fruit, all of these things, in your life, as long as you stay connected to the tree of life, which is the Holy Spirit, right? Just like a tree produces fruit, it's the tree that produces the fruit, not the fruit, right?
Sure.
Well, if you stay connected to the tree, the Holy Spirit will just produce this fruit in your life. All of it.
Just like the orange.
Love, joy, peace, patience.
You don't just get the vitamin C, you get everything along with
it. That's right. That's right.
You get all of the fruit of the Spirit. You don't just get joy. You get all of it.
You get love too.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And patience. I'm listening for patience the week of patience.
Yes, that's
especially
that's coming up here next week.
Next week.
Yes, that's good. Peace and patience all in the same episode.
Good stuff.
And you can't just focus on the peace. You have to focus on the peace and patience.
It's a package.
Yes. So let's take a look at love. When we talk about love, I think most people who are exposed to the world, which is most people, get a very skewed perspective on what love is, because the world doesn't know true love in the form that God is talking about here in this particular scripture. And we have to understand, just briefly, we have a whole nother series on love that you're welcome to go to thevikingandthelioness.com. That was a shameless plug, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. And you did a good job in writing that series.
And we go really in depth into the different types of love that are referred to in the Bible, because there are many different words in the original language that are translated into the English word love.
And we have one word, love.
Yeah, we just have this one word, and it can mean a whole bunch of different things. You know, I love ice cream. I love my wife. You and I both know in English that those are two different
And we love our parents.
We love our parents. We love our kids. We love our dog.
It's all different.
It's all different. Well, the Greek and the Hebrew all had different words for those things. So there's four main types. There's the phileo love, which is the friendship kind of love. There's the eros love, which is the romantic and sexual kind of love. There's the storge, which is the friendship kind of love. And then there's this one, agape. And that is the kind of love that we're talking about in this particular scripture. In Galatians, when it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, the love there is the agape, which is the God kind of love. And we don't really need to go into all the details, but if you look at the different kinds of love, the object of that love in all three different other kinds is self. Self is the object that receives the benefit from that love. Whether it's the eros love, the phileo love, you love your friends, but that loving of your friends benefits you. So you're the object of that love. The agape love, the kind of love that God has towards us, the object is the person being loved. They're the ones that receive that benefit. So the kind of love that the Holy Spirit will produce in you when you're staying connected to the vine and walking in the Spirit is an agape love that is totally selfless towards everyone that you meet. You will have a totally selfless kind of love towards everyone, regardless of whether they're worthy, regardless of whether they're deserving.
Even then,
that's the kind of love that the Spirit will produce in you. So just understand as you're reading through this, that these are all the attributes of God. The Spirit has come inside of you and has been merged into one with your spirit. So you have all of these things inside of you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you know it or not. Just a little aside there. So then there's joy. And in the Bible, it's the Greek word chara or chara. And it means joy, gladness, the cause or occasion of joy, of persons who are one's joy. So the kind of joy that we're talking about is not happiness, right?
It's deeper.
Much deeper, and it's constant.
That word happiness, it kind of makes me cringe. There's a lot of the happiness project. There's a lot. It was a big thing. It was kind of like hygge. Everyone talked about happiness. Got to be happy. Here's how you can be happy. And it was so surface level and not God related, I don't believe. I mean, yeah.
It's circumstance. Nice. Yeah. Circumstance related.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Joy is one of my favorite words. Probably one of my favorite attributes out of here.
I mean, because it doesn't come and go. It's not fleeting. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's not. I was just having this conversation with my dad earlier today, you know, about feeling like a yo-yo. You know, 1 minute you're up, 1 minute you're down. 1 minute you're up, 1 minute you're down. And you're always seeking the up. And you always hate it when you go down. So you're seeking the up, right? And that's happiness. When you're pursuing happiness, you are all over the map. And
it's external. Yeah, it's all external. The external around you.
Yeah. That very circumstance-based. The joy that comes from the Lord.
Got the joy down in my heart.
Yep.
I want to say my heart to stay.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing about the joy of the Lord is because it's not based on circumstance. It's based on the existence of God. Because it is one of his attributes. He has joy constantly. And when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have that joy no matter what's going on around you. You have it. You don't have to get it. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have it.
Mm-hmm. And
24 hours.
From my book of Nehemiah, it's Nehemiah 8:10, and he says, the joy of the Lord is my strength, or is your strength. So it is. It is.
Absolutely.
It gives you that. Well, you know, it's funny because these all kind of build on each other. They're all so intertwined, because I think when I have joy, I have peace. Like, it's so much peace when there's that joy in there. I just feel at peace. Mm-hmm. And when I can tap into that Holy Spirit's the love, I feel peace. Mm-hmm. I feel like I want to be kind to others. There's so many different things that happen when you're able to tap in.
And that's why it's one fruit, because it's one God.
Yeah.
And when you're tapping into that existence inside of you, you are experiencing the fullness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And we have the fullness. That's what the scripture says. We have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling within us
inside
bodily.
Us.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
It's good.
We have all of his attributes.
We don't need the phone. We don't need the Google.
No. No.
We don't need the social. We don't need any of that to bring us joy.
Nope.
We've got it inside. So put your phone down. Yep. Get off the social.
Don't need happy. I mean, happy comes and goes, and that's okay. It's going to happen. But joy is here to stay.
Mm-hmm. So you may be wondering, what does this all mean to me? And how do I tap into it? Like, that's great, but how do I tap into it?
Mm-hmm.
So should we share?
Well, we just covered the first part.
Mm-hmm. We did.
We covered the first part because now
belief.
You know.
You know that you know that you know.
Now you know what the word says. And this is God speaking directly to you. When you read this word, this is God's promise to you. You have, living inside of you, love, joy, peace, patience, all of those.
And you can, and people might use the word activate, tap into, partner with the Holy Spirit. I mean, you're already partnered, but allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and to shine. I think of it as, if I was to open my chest, I believe the Holy Spirit's sitting in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I visualize that. Like, some people see the man on the moon. So I see the Holy Spirit in my heart. And so if I was to open my rib cage and I just envision it shining out towards everyone else. And so that's in there. And
please don't do that physically.
No,
that
I don't want to do that.
That would scare me.
But it's like, if someone could see through, it would just be this bright light shining out. And the more that we do that, the more people are going to see Jesus through us. They're going to see the Holy Spirit in us.
Mm-hmm.
The more that we're able to, I keep saying partner with, I know that we're already one, but when we allow that flow of that energy, that flow of that elements of the fruit of the Spirit to work through us, I know that more people are going to see it. They're going to be drawn to the Lord. They're going to be drawn to, going to look at, like a moth to light.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I want that. I want what she had for lunch.
Right. No, I know. And it's the basis of that scripture in Romans 10:17 is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah, so that's number two. So the first one, we have belief.
Yeah.
And then hearing the word daily, or as much as you can.
Oh, yeah. There's never too much.
And what was the quote that you had? Oh, Romans 10:17.
Mm-hmm. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
I love that.
And that is a physical reality. This is not just a concept. Your faith will be boosted by hearing the Word of God. So read it to yourself out loud. Read it out loud. Let your
Even if you're ears, not a good out loud reader like me.
Yeah.
I stumble over words. I miss words. My brain goes too fast.
It doesn't matter who's reading it, but I guarantee you, you believe yourself more than you believe anybody else. So read it to yourself and let that build your faith. Mm. Because that's a promise that's in the Word. Your faith comes by hearing the Word of God.
And then move into speaking. I love this.
Ooh.
I love this scripture from Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Often we move into a place of when we're sad or angry, fearful, whatever, pain, in pain, we move into the space where we're sharing that out loud.
Mm.
and it's not, we're not trying to be bad. We're not trying to do these things, but it is harmful to continue to do that. So if it's a illness and we continually say that, there's power in those words.
Yeah, because it's death and life. So this is a tool that can be used either direction.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're speaking death or speaking sickness or speaking depression or speaking whatever, you will eat that fruit. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to eat that fruit?
And I remember a time in my life that was really hard. Really, really hard. I was coming out of a divorce, and I remember a moment. I had a sad day. And I was laying on the floor, and I remember it because of the, you know how you remember things, the feelings of things, huge slate tiles, and I was laying on the floor and had a puddle of tears, and it was a audible voice from God, I would say, if not, it was in my head and it sounded really loud, and He said, "Get up, you have a choice. Get up, this is your choice." Mm-hmm. To lay there in a puddle of tears or to be filled with my love and joy. And I specifically remember joy. And this is when I started hearing that. And this is the time happy, you know, the happiness project, the happy, happy, happy.
Mm-hmm.
And He specifically told me joy.
Mm-hmm.
You have a choice to be joyful. I remember at that time that people knew what was going on. People knew the circumstance and things that were going on in my life. But then they saw me being joyful.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, "Are you okay? What is wrong with you?" So the point in sharing that story is we can have sadness. We can have different things going on in our life, and they can run parallel with joy. It's not one or the other. We can be going through a season in our life, but we can choose to allow the joy, tap into the joy that the Holy Spirit has, that fruit of the Spirit, that joy and God's love, and say, no.
I'm not gonna let.
This may be what's happening in the physical realm, but when Christ died on that cross, I was promised these things, and I'm going to tap into those things, and I'm going, no.
I have it. It's me.
I'm grabbing it.
Inside of me, and I choose joy.
And people were drawn to me at that time, like drawn to my story, my testimony at that time. They're like, "I want that." Because there were a lot of people at that time going through similar circumstances. And they're like, I want that. And so being able to share that with others that were going through a similar situation was, it felt good. It felt good to share what God had given all of us as believers.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something that I had, or it was a moment I had with God in that. I mean, it was a moment and I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So speak the truth, speak what we know. The enemy listens for the things.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy cannot hear what we're feeling. Enemy can't hear what's in our head. The moment we speak out loud, the enemy can hear that and grabs a hold of it. So give him something good. Give him, say, sorry. You want something? Here's some joy. I'll share my joy.
Watch him just fume.
He's like, shoot, because he sits there
trying
and
so
waits
hard
for those moments when we're vulnerable, when we're sad, when we're weak. So don't keep sharing those things that may be happening in the physical realm that may not have been, you know, we're waiting for those things to manifest that God's promised.
Well, and one of the things that we talked about too, you know, there is a spiritual force to our words. There's an authority.
Absolutely.
That our words have. You know, I know in Western culture, we don't give that much credence in our daily lives. And we say a lot of different things and we don't really even think about it. But when you look at the reality of that scripture, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Mm.
How did God make us? How did God make everything? He spoke. And it was.
Genesis.
Guess whose image we are made in? So you need to make a choice. You can have what you say, or you can say what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So in those negative situations, if you're going around saying what you have, you're going to just continue that snowball rolling because the authority of your words are adding to that. Or you can stop yourself, make the choice, and speak the word over your situation and then begin to change the situation in your life to mirror the word, because you are speaking what the word says. And the word says, I have joy, I have peace.
Yeah, even if you're getting patience. You know, get out the Bible and start just reading those scriptures in those moments.
Yeah.
I remember when I went to a conference before and they had us take, when people were complaining, and it was not a Christian conference that I was at, but they were kind of talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, wait a minute, they were talking about this. And they had us use a weird voice. Say, I am so sad and I'm feeling so la 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 and this really hurts. And when you say it in those voices, you have to laugh. So you can't say those things in a funny voice, whatever that funny voice is to you, without laughing. And so then it brought you this joy what you were tapping into, this joy that's inside. And then it made it sound really silly. So I'm like, well, I don't want to sound like that. I don't want to
be. Breaks the power.
I don't want to sound like this whiny. I think they made us say it in a whiny voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that sounds really bad. I don't. If it was someone else doing that, I'd be pulling my hair out if I had to hear that all the time. So I don't want to be that person doing that.
Yeah.
So doing things like that. I mean, I remember at this time that experience that I shared. It was really hard at first. And I made a commitment. I said, I'm going to be joyful from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this in grace from beginning to end. And it was hard. It was forced. It's like, have a blessed day. And then it got a little easier. And then I truly meant what I was saying to people and to myself.
Yeah.
So it may be forced. And that's okay. Read the scripture. If you don't know what to say, like, and it's coming out not so kind or angry or bitter, get into the word and read it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll become second nature.
Yeah. And I remember there was several tough periods that I went through in my life. And I can remember just being so consumed in my thoughts about everything that was going on that it was like this spinning wheel.
Crazy eight.
Yeah, and it was continuous. There was so much negativity. There was so much awful things, so many awful things going on that it was just churning in my mind continuously. And it was about that time where I started learning these principles and somebody was teaching me, you know, how do you walk in the Spirit? Well, the very first thing that I learned was go to God and say, like, for instance, love. Say, Lord, I know you love me unconditionally. Even though there's all these awful things going on, I'm going to choose to focus on how much you love me. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, show me today in some way that's greater than what I've experienced before, how much you love me. And help me to perceive it and help me to know. And then you go into the scriptures and you start reading about all of the ways that God loves you and how much he loves you and all of those things. And you start focusing on that. Pretty soon, you get so filled up with God's love for you that you start getting your eyes off of your own situation and loving others around you and wanting to share that love with them.
And they talk about giving. If you're in a sad moment, give to others because it fills you up, because you're doing what God's asked you to love others.
Yeah.
I know I did something very similar, and we've talked about this before. Anne Voskamp, who's someone we both like, she had a book called 1,000 Gifts. So the principle of that was find 3 things every day that you're grateful for. I turned it into joy. I said, I'm going to look for 3 things that bring me joy every day and write those down. Take 3 things, 365, you have 1,000 in a year. So that's her title of her book. So I started doing that. And when you're in that gratitude moment, that grateful space of what God has done for you or what God is doing for you, and it doesn't have to be big things. One day it was a ladybug. I was on a walk and I looked down and I saw this ladybug on a flower. That brought me joy. So I went home and journaled about it and just wrote it down. Once I started looking for those things, the blessings in my life, I'm like, okay. And it's that, I know we're supposed to believe God loves us without seeing, but it reinforces.
Oh, yes.
It reinforces definitely. It. So I knew God loved me, but it just helped reinforce it and just made it stronger. So I'd find those 3 things every day. I was so excited to write those down at the end of the day. And then, you know, then you can look back. You can look back at your journal. You can look back at the list of gratitude. You can put your little gratitude things in a jar and pull them out at the end of the year or whatever you want to do. But starting to focus on those instead.
Yep. So the steps. Make a choice. Get into the word. Speak the word.
And the next is move in truth.
Step out.
Make a move.
Because now you know that this is true, so you're going to live in the truth of that.
And
not what you see going on around you, the truth of the word that you know is true.
And the scripture we have there that we chose was James 2:26. For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And we're not meaning works that are
trying to earn something.
It's just moving in your thoughts, moving in, you know, getting out and walking. Like we talk about getting out, like physically getting up and walking when you're sad and just want to sit in a chair. No, get up and move and walk and just be grateful and just soak up God's love.
Yeah, because if I can tell you all day long that I believe, let's say for instance, a chair. I can tell you all day long that I believe that this particular chair that's sitting in front of me will hold me. It will hold my weight. I'm a big guy. So it takes a big chair to hold me, but this is a little chair. But I have just made the statement that I believe that that chair is going to hold me.
Go sit in it.
Yeah, that's right. Until I go sit in it, there's nothing to back up my statement. So faith without works, the corresponding action, that faith will produce a corresponding action. Faith isn't you telling me that you have faith or you telling somebody else that you have faith. Faith is something that moves you to do that thing. So I'm going to go sit in that chair because I know it's going to hold me.
That's good.
And I won't even think twice about it.
That's good. And it only takes, I'm going to say, the faith the size of a mustard seed.
Oh,
God will use that. I'm going to talk Matthew 17:20. Yeah, I heard once where someone said it just takes 2 millimeters. Just move.
Just a little bit.
Just move. Make a shift. Just shift what you're thinking. Shift what you're saying. Shift the, you know, getting into the word. I heard someone say, how do you get into the word? They're like, leave the Bible open all around you and read.
Think about it.
Read. Get into the word. Like, leave it open and get into the word.
Take a scripture. Just one. Take one of these scriptures that's in the work. In the workbook and write it on a card and go out for a walk out in nature somewhere and just say, Lord, I'm going to just focus on this scripture. And you read that as you're walking and you're thinking about it and you're visualizing it and you're picturing it and you're saying, Lord, show me the truth of this in my heart, not my head, in my heart. Show me the truth of this scripture. And that's how you begin to ingest it.
Bam.
Oh, man. You want to talk about powerful response.
You're like, oh, my gosh.
When you get serious about the word, God's getting serious about teaching you because he wants you to know this stuff more than you do.
You'll see signs all in nature. I used to see, oh, my gosh, there's a cross on the side of the tree. Oh, my goodness. Look at the heart on the ground on that leaf. Mm-hmm. You're going to see God just
everywhere,
just giving these little, you know, God whispers and signs
everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to use the phrase all the time, dare to believe God and just do. Dare to believe him. Dare to take the chance that he actually meant what he said.
Or you could sit in the puddle on the floor.
Or you can sit in the puddle on the floor and cry yourself to sleep. You know, there is no such thing as depression.
No.
If you don't allow it.
So.
You have joy.
Got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in,
See, I was raised hearing that song in Sunday school my whole life.
I wasn't, and you shared it once, and now it.
And then who is that? Who is the one that had the part? What song? Who is the song that we listened to the other day?
Oh, King and Country.
That was King and Country?
Uh-huh, it's called Joy.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Yeah, it's amazing.
They had that one little part in there.
They totally improved the song that I remember from Sunday school. Totally.
So we might put a link in the link in the download.
If you have Spotify, if you're listening on Spotify, look up King and Country.
Joy. Yeah, it's in our playlist. Yep, it's called Joy.
Yep, good stuff.
Okay. Well, we have talked about
rambled.
A lot. So we're 2 down and we have several to go. What, seven to go. So tune in next Tuesday and
peace and patience.
Peace and patience.
Or long suffering.
Long suffering.
As the New King James puts it.
Yes. You want to pray us out, honey?
Oh, I would love to.
Okay.
Join with us as we pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today. We thank you, Father God, that we have your spirit within us. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you paid the price to redeem us to yourself, to make the atonement for all of our failings. And Father, you loved us so much that you wanted to be united with us in the spirit. Help us, Lord, to tap into that love, joy, and the peace, and the patience, all of the attributes of your spirit within us. Help us to set aside our feelings, make the choice to step out in faith in your word, knowing that you love us and that we have your joy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just right inside of us. Help us to just anchor ourselves to those things, Father, so that we're not tossed about by the circumstances and the feelings and the happiness or lack of happiness at any given moment, but that we are steadfast in your love and in your joy each day. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you so much. We pray for each one that is listening to us today, Father, that you would reveal to them the truth of your word in a greater way than they've ever experienced before. Reveal to them your love and your joy, and help them to choose to walk in that each moment. We just love you, and we thank you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's kids said,
amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good stuff. So, should we leave him with some peace?
Oh, the perfect peace?
Yes.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. We will see you next time.
We love you.